Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080.
So it's like a sweet potato pie, except without the crust.
Why is it called sweet potato poo?
Because that's what my mother told us it was.
And right. Mommy says that's what it's called. That's what it's called.
So simple, it's just my work.
It's okay if you want to admit that you want more. And I was like, yeah, that's, I try to tell you it's a little weird down there, and can we be a little more careful?
It's kind of douchey.
Meow. Good old mama's sweet potato poo.
That is an underrated clip.
It really is. And then Al Roker just found nothing weird about that at all. And his mama called it sweet potato poon. I'd like to believe that somewhere out there that someone uses that in their nightly activities. What are you having for dinner tonight? I don't know, but I know it's for dessert.
Not touching it.
That's what she said.
Mike's hands are up as well. All right. Where do we begin?
I don't know.
Hey, let me tell you about the viral video just real quick.
Friday.
I wonder if this freaks you guys out the way it does me. But there's a YouTube video that I saw that it's called the Claustrophobic Cave Compilation.
Okay.
And it's a video it's like 8 minutes. Let me see if I can get the title so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what it's called. Claustrophobic Cave Compilation on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's 10 minutes of people squeezing and crawling through the tightest passages that you can. And it's horrifying.
Are you a claustrophobic guy?
I don't...
Dude, there are multiple videos like this.
I don't know if I'm claustrophobic. Because I've never really been put... I don't know. I don't think I am truly claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm. But this makes you uncomfortable.
This would absolutely freak me the S out.
Well, the first one already.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I mean? Does that freak
you
guys out?
Are you on the same one, Suk, where it's the yellow helmet guy and the red jacket? Okay.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. When you told me, like, claustrophobic compilation, I just assumed it was like a, cave, tight, you're crawling around in there. But this is...
Why is he going into the water?
Boy, that is...
What is he doing?
That is different. Like, the spaces that they're in...
It's unbelievable.
First off, I would never be in one of these videos because, well, look at me. I'm not fitting in any of these spots. Like, this is a skinny man's game.
That it is. And I just...
Well, can I ask the question?
How do you know you're going to fit?
Exactly. Like, what happens when you get stuck?
Exactly.
You die.
Like, if you're
in there... You die.
Get the climbing gear. We're going spelunking. When you're in the middle of that, do you just, like, find some, like, bones? You just find, like, an REI, like, jacket, and there's just a skeleton in it? Oh, my
Probably.
God.
Probably.
one of these, I'm like 2 minutes in, and I have officially been terrified as well. And I am not claustrophobic.
Not good.
But the hole that that guy just went in.
Not good.
Hey-o.
And you don't know what's on the other side when you start trying to crawl through the hole.
That's the other thing. Is like, I don't really understand why that's... What is the... Is there fun in that? Is there joy? Is that exhilarating? Because to me, it's none of that.
Yeah, that's...
That's
all not good.
I don't get it.
I mean, boy, that's way worse than I imagined.
Claustrophobic cave compilation, YouTube.
Yeah, I've never really considered myself claustrophobic, but...
And it just keeps going. It's like 12 minutes long.
Yeah, I would never attempt any of that. One of these is the guy, he's having to lean back so that his head stays above water.
Yeah. I mean, there's one, if you fast forward way towards the end, this guy, he looks like he's just a kid, but he's still going, and he's getting into some spots where he literally can't.
No.
He can't get through it. It takes him a long time to shimmy through. Anyway, the other stupid thing about this is, like, when you get out of there, what is, like, you're telling people, oh, I went through that cave, and they're like, oh, cool, it's a cave. They have no frame of reference for how tight it is.
That's why you got the GoPro on and that you show them your sweet clip.
Yeah, I guess.
It's all about the gram, man. You got to get on the gram. You got to get those likes. But here's the thing. When you get to the other side, like, again, not being a spelunker, is there often a way out or do you have to go back the way you came?
I think these guys know exactly where these are going. They have to. Otherwise, they die.
Well, I'm guessing some of them do die.
Well, then how do they get through?
Well, I'm sure
you can't pass a body. You can't turn on your blinker.
I'm just guessing. Hey, make way. I'm assuming that this is a lot like what are those wingsuits, the squirrel suits? I'm guessing that if you participate this in an extreme nature, there's plenty of accidents, right? Like, there's just no way that can't be the case.
Mm.
I've seen 127 hours. I saw what happened to that bro, and he was just like cruising around, like not even like going in caves. He was just in crevices.
What's that movie, The Descent, where it's like the people who got stuck down there and they actually
they're down there
changed because they were underneath for so long.
They're hanging out down there. Yeah, what if one of those guys just rolls up on you?
Hills Have Eyes, sort of thing. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie, Sue?
I have not. I have not seen it.
Actually, a pretty good movie. It looks stupid, but it's pretty good.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. I will tell you right now that if under no circumstances, because I'm a fairly adventurous guy, I'm up for different stuff. But if you told me we were going like in caves, I'm gonna need a better explanation about what happens. I say this about hiking, right? I'm not against hiking. It's not my favorite thing to do in the world. I need some sort of motivation. I need a carrot at the end of the hike, like a cool waterfall or something I can go swimming in. I need a further explanation of what's waiting for me at the end of squeezing my fat ass through all these caves.
Right.
Is there a donut? Is there like some hot chicks? What is happening here? What is my motivation to get through this?
Well,
because it looks like a miserable time.
Right. And I don't think there is anything on the other side. There's something about it that these guys love to do this.
Yeah, I'm out.
What's worse? You're in there and you get stuck. And so you're just sitting there stuck. Or you're in there and you're not stuck, but
the
rocks cave behind you.
Oh.
Or
I thought you were going with the one that, because my biggest fear in that would be the headlamp goes.
Oh, the headlamp goes.
Headlamp goes.
Ooh.
Yeah. You're down there and you're squeezing your butt through there and you're trying to fight your way through and your light goes out. That would be the most terrifying.
Yeah, what do you do?
Because if you're stuck, maybe there's an idea of, hey, if I wiggle a little bit or, hey, I waste away for a couple days, I lose some weight, maybe I can squeeze through. Or if the rocks claps in behind you, you're like, well, maybe there's a way out. But if your light goes out, what the F do you do?
At least you can try to feel your way around. That's what she said. But I don't know.
It'd be a fun night.
Or would you rather just be crushed by the rock? Like, let's say the rocks fall, like there's a earthquake or something,
yeah,
and you're in there, and then they don't crush you dead, but they crush you stuck. Is that the worst way to go?
Just kill me.
Totally,
just
but I'm saying it doesn't.
Yeah.
So now you're laying there
just
going,
starve.
Well, yeah,
you know, or suffocate.
And
or
maybe
whatever.
There's like a glimmer of hope because you're not dead, so you think you might be able to get out, but you can't.
And you can hear your buddies outside going, Sook, you okay?
Sook, there's a bunch of Tud at the end of this cave. Get going, man. You get out of there, Tud's for everybody.
At the end of the cave is a bunch of Tud, though. Would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going for Tud, yeah, of course. Man, I'll tell you,
it's horrible.
Is that?
It's horrible.
I gotta ask the question. Is that the broiest thing you can do? Is what? Like go like you're going spelunking? I feel like that's the ultimate Dave Cortez douchey extreme. Like really? Like you're just going subterranean and you're just gonna like become a mole man? Like that's what you're doing? Like you just decide like you're just gonna burrow around in the ground?
Yeah, I don't really understand the allure of it.
Yeah, I don't get it. That's gotta be a bro thing. That's gotta be like, you know, we're gonna catch some wicked air, man. I'm going wicked underground. You won't believe it. Like there's gotta be some sort of weird bizarro stoner bragging rights thing. Otherwise, why on God's green earth, or in this case, God's subterranean brown earth, why would you do it? Sounds effing terrible.
Agreed.
Now, I don't think I'm claustrophobic, but I think you may have just made me claustrophobic with that.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, that's just like the whole Buried Alive sort of thing. Because that one does freak me out. You've seen
Buried Alive.
You've seen Kill Bill, right?
No.
All right. Well, in the second Kill Bill, they put her in a coffin and they bury her alive with a flashlight so she can see. And that one, that makes my skin turn a little bit. Yeah, just that idea of like, you just...
You know you're buried.
You know you're buried, and you're gonna die. So
and
unless
you can't really move.
Yeah. So unless you're like a kung fu master and you can chop your way out of there within 6 inches, you're dead. That would be like the worst.
How long would it take you to die?
I don't know.
Would you suffocate?
You would suffocate.
Before starving.
Yeah, you'd suffocate. You'd run out of air.
She just run out of air.
Yeah. They tell her when she goes under, they're like she's screaming, and they're like, you know, save your breath. They're like, Yeah. That's no good. That's all bad. It's all bad. Like I said, not many real fears there. Like, but certain cases like that, I think everyone can be claustrophobic under the right circumstances. But like normally, like in a closet or when like you were a kid, and someone wraps you in a blanket or whatever, a sleeping bag. None of that stuff freaked me out. But that's a whole different. That's a whole different level.
Do you think you would become more used to the claustrophobic feeling as you were stuck for longer, or were to get it worse?
I think it would get worse. I think it gets worse because you would freak out.
Yeah.
Freak out.
You'd snap.
You wouldn't just sit there and be like, oh, this isn't so bad. It would be the other way.
There's a lot of those scenarios where you, and I guess it's life and death situations. Remember it was a number of years ago. I actually played with a couple of the guys in Tampa Bay. They were out on that fishing boat. And it was a couple Buccaneers and then a guy that played like a South Florida and the boat capsized.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they went insane. Like you're in those sort of situations. They were floating upside down.
Holding
onto the boat. And they got hypothermic.
They started hallucinating.
They started hallucinating and like they started ripping off life vests and started attacking each other. Like you're in those situations, you literally go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
So I think if you were stuck down there for a significant period of time, you'd go mush. You just, everyone's like, you know, we're not all Bear Grylls, right? We're not like some sort of like military trained G.I. Joe, cool under pressure sort of thing. I think the average dude freaks out in 12 hours. He's thinking 6 to 12 hours and then you're losing it at that point and you're thinking about like eating your fingers.
I would hope that I would die before that.
Yeah.
But
how you don't even probably have the power to kill yourself at that point.
No, you don't.
You just, you know, you
what can't would get, you do?
Nothing. You just sit there and yeah.
God, horrifying. All right.
Old gray mare, she used.
Would you start the beer count like the 1,000 bottles of beer on the wall? Maybe you could get a long ways.
Try to do something to engage your mind. Well, in that story where the boat capsized, the one guy that did survive, he wasn't the NFL player. He said he did that. He said he recited like song lyrics in his head to stave off the, you know, whatever. He would sing things in his mind, but like just random stuff to try to keep his mind sharp.
He has hope of living. When you are buried alive, you are not getting out. Yeah. You are going to die. It's just a matter of when. That is what I think would put you over the edge. Like, you can't...
Yeah, no one knows you're down
there.
There's
no survival. Like, you're just waiting.
Yeah. There's no Tud on that other side for you. None.
Well, there may be some heavenly Tud, but...
Some sweet potato Tud on the other side.
God. 619 on the Fan. The
Fan.
Double Sun Power!
Okay. It is 624.
We went a little long there.
I have Gator Attack news. Now, yep. You don't often hear about Gator Attacks in terms of, like... Well, the gators will try to pull you into the water, you know?
Yeah, but for the most part, gators aren't, you know, unless you go into the sewers, the gators are kind of leaving you alone. Although it wasn't that long ago that that kid was swimming at Disney World and the gator got him.
Yeah. But, you know, people play golf in Florida and there's gators, you know, around and...
Sure.
It's just not really, you know...
No, we're...
It's not that big of a thing.
Yeah, having lived in Florida, you see them all the time and... Most people respect it. Now, unfortunately, that Disney World one, there was a sign, and they chose to go swimming anyways. Most of lakes and just little bodies of water, they will have signs posted that say, don't swim, you know, gators. And that is a very serious thing.
Well, yeah, but you just don't see, like, gators running people down, you know?
No.
So a man in Florida is lucky to be alive after an intense encounter with an alligator. His name is Mark Johnson. He's a 61-year-old man, and he was walking his dog when he was attacked by an 8-foot gator.
Oh, boy.
So this guy, Mark, got his foot caught in the mud, and the alligator was just sitting there.
It's a bad place to get your
right. So
foot
think
stuck
about
in the mud.
Think about this. Okay, so you're Mark.
Yeah.
You're walking. You're in Florida. Foot stuck in mud. Although, I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
How does that happen?
Well, I mean, some of them...
Literally, you can't move?
Well, I guess.
Was it quicksand?
Hey, don't get me started on quicksand.
So, there's an alligator right there, okay?
Yeah.
And you have your dog. And you... Rex, by the way, is his name.
Okay.
And you've got Rex on your leash, you're stuck, and there's a gator. What do you think's going to happen? You're like, oh my God, Rex is dead.
Yeah, Rex is done.
Right.
Right.
Well, the gator noticed that Johnson was stuck, and it lunged at him and sunk its teeth into his leg.
So it left Rex alone and went after the big prize.
So he says the alligator starts clamping down pretty tight, and he started to pull me. He said the next thing I do, I instantly poked.
I was going to say, be fair, did the gator get him out of the mud? Maybe the gator was just trying to help him. He saw that the man was stuck and was trying to gently remove him from the mud.
He poked his eye out.
He poked the gator's eye out?
Yeah.
Did he have a stick? Did he have a rough talk stick?
Fingers. He poked the gator's eye out with his fingers.
Dude, that's badass.
And so that led the gator, because the gator was trying to pull him under the water.
Sure.
It retreated after he poked its eye out.
Okay.
It was a weenie gator.
Now, do we have confirmation? Have we seen the gator?
No. I mean, I don't know. I haven't.
Well, I just...
I don't know this guy.
Because I'm looking here at Mark...
And oh, you see Mark.
I see Mark. And I'm looking at the scars here.
Do you see Rex?
I do see Rex. He's golden.
Oh.
Okay, well, those are a little... this was the aftermath. All right, they didn't look that serious. It's like 8-foot gator.
Mm-hmm.
You know me. Sometimes I question.
Yeah, I see it here.
Yeah, I question a little bit. I think sometimes when you have these sorts of things, people overplay. Size of the animal. Remember the cougar guy?
Yeah.
He killed the cougar with his bare hands and it turned out...
You have a right to be skeptical.
You know, it's... I'm looking at Mark here and Mark doesn't really seem like a gouging an eye of a gator out and, you know, fighting off an 8-foot gator. Plus, I think gators can cover their eyes.
That's what I thought.
I was a little skeptical of that.
So he said he thought he was about to do the death roll.
Yeah.
You know, where the gator grabs you and then rolls.
Yeah, and rips off your leg. You probably won't die, but your leg's going to get all... screwed up.
Yeah. So he said the mouth of the gator was above his knee, and he did begin to pull him back. So that's when he poked his eye out.
All right. Well, I mean, quick thinking. That's pretty... I mean...
He said, I'm not going to let you take me into the water. He was rough-talking the alligator.
That's all you can do in that situation is do a little rough-talking.
Yeah.
Right?
And he said he shouted at the gator... As he attempted to wrestle himself free,
Can you scare a gator?
He said he was actually pissed off that the gator was trying to do that. He was like, no, you're not. He's like, no.
Yeah,
this is not polite.
This is not how we act in civilized gator society, my man.
He says, I went in so deep in his eye socket with my fingers, he immediately opened his jaws.
Well, I mean, they do tell you in a lot of cases, if you are getting attacked by a superior foe, go for the nose and the eyes, right?
Yeah, but what else are you going to do? Like, I mean, that's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, a gator's like an armored tank. I just always thought, and this is my naive gator knowledge, I thought gators had the little, I thought they could cover their eyes.
I did too.
Like, they had like bat shields, like on the Batmobile that covered the eyes, and so you couldn't go for an eye poke.
Maybe that's crocodiles instead of gators?
I don't know.
Or do they both have the same skill?
Let's be honest. My knowledge of crocodiles and gators and whatnot, like 50% of it comes from Crocodile Dundee 1 and 2. Like another 30% from probably Steve Irwin. 10% from watching college football. That I'm like, I saw some Florida gators once. And then another 10% from living in Florida and seeing them from time to time. It's not really a Britannica encyclopedia of knowledge of which I'm possessing here about these dinosaurs. So I'm totally open to the idea that I'm full of crap. I just thought in my head that they had eye shields.
Well, Rex is a lucky dog.
Yes.
Because you know that guy gladly would have given up Rex.
Well, in that situation, I'm not going to.
No.
You got to give up the dog.
No. Hell no.
You were the dog?
Well, it's not that, though. Because the gator's stupid. He doesn't.
Your leg or the dog?
Well, but it's not that either. I'm saving both.
Rob's going Captain America. He's not intimidated by that.
Or at least I'm trying to save both. Like, I'm not letting it get anything.
I'd like to believe I've got two bulldogs. One American, one English.
You're just going to throw your bulldog at the gator?
Here's my thing. I know for a fact that the American bulldog would attack the gator.
You're not trying to save the bulldog.
I'm
not trying.
No, I'm just saying I fully believe in that case that the American bulldog is, she's such a protector.
Because the gator's got your leg?
Yes, she's going after it. I believe Crumb, who's the old English bulldog, would look at it, give the gator the, and then run the other direction and go try to find a snossage somewhere.
It doesn't sound like Rex attacked the gator.
No. There's heroic dogs and there's not. I feel I have one heroic dog and one that would probably feel bad. Maybe he would lick me and give me a goodbye, but like, hey, it's been real. And I'm going to go find something to eat and probably take a nap. I'm sorry, but like, if he was getting attacked, I would obviously try to save him, but...
How would you do that?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? It's like a giant gator, right?
It's 8 feet. Poke its eye out.
Hey, poke the eye, but, you know. There is a lot of dogs in Florida that you would see are missing front legs. That is a fairly... that's a pretty common thing. Because they go drinking by the water and, you know, they get a front leg.
This texter has a very important question, Soup.
What?
Daniel Jones or the dog?
I think I'm going to take the dog. Well, in this case, no, because Rex didn't do anything. I'm a little disappointed in Rex.
Yeah, Rex, we need to know more of what Rex is thinking.
Right?
We'll try to get an interview with him, but yeah. I'm guessing the alligator, he was looking, going like, good, take him, not me.
Yeah, right? But don't you want your dog to fight for you?
I think it would be super cool.
Yes. And and while I do love my little chubby Crumb, I'm realistic. I know he's not doing it,
you're
which
right.
is why I have the other one.
My golden retriever, Bo, rest in peace. He never would have.
No.
But Ned would have.
Yes.
Ned would have fought for me.
Yes, and that's why there's love there. But
and like, so would Daisy, the little wiener dog.
Oh,
she'd fight for my wife, not me.
The wiener dog sees you go down. She goes over to your wife and is like, it's about time.
No
he
kidding.
Was really cramping my style. You should be realistic about your dog. In fact, there was a... who's that John? Is it John Quixotes that does the what would you do sort of thing?
Yeah.
They had one of those where they did the dog attack. They asked owners, would your dog come to your rescue? And they staged break-ins. Mm. So they would do it a quiet night. You're sitting on the couch and they had someone like kick open the door and run in and attack the owner.
And the dogs all cowered in fear.
And there were so many dogs that were supposed, like, all the owners were convinced that the dog was going to attack and come to the rescue, like 15%. And it was weird because a lot of the times, the big dogs were the ones that didn't do anything, but the little ones, little ones threw down.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they could do anything, but.
No.
Fascinating.
Yeah. But I just
well, he had 61 stitches in his leg.
That's legit.
That's a lot of stitches.
That's a lot of stitches.
He's lucky.
Yes.
That dude's super lucky.
Yeah, he's lucky he still has a leg. Like, it's not a gator. Like, gator that side can't kill you, but it'll take a limb.
Well, it could drown him. It could take him under the water and drown him and roll him.
Yeah.
Dude, he could die easily.
Most of those, though, again, having lived in Florida, you lose a limb. And then as long as you get to the hospital, you're all right. It is, I'm not kidding. Anyone that lives in Florida will back me up on this. You see a lot of dogs, and occasionally you do see people, but a lot of animals that are missing limbs. Because animals obviously don't heed the sign there that says, hey, not a good place to go down and swim, or don't get a drink out of here. Stupid animals.
All right, coming up next, bonus coverage of cool things. Here's Mike.
1080, The Fan.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, well, we don't have much time left.
No.
Let's reflect on our week.
On the tuds of the week.
What a great week.
So much has happened. We've come so far. We've learned so much. Well, we've grown as an audience. We've grown as a show.
We've faced adversity, and we got through it.
What was our adversity?
Smoke.
The smoke, dude.
How was our adversity? Was it really our adversity?
Well,
it was all of them.
Yeah, we were all fighting it.
Did you really fight it? Really?
Yes.
What did you?
I had to cancel tea times.
Oh,
and emotionally.
The sacrifices that were made.
I know.
I did read the story. Did you see the guy that survived by going out on the rock in the middle of the river and then using the plastic chair to fend off, like, the embers?
Yeah.
Holy
what?
Hell. Yeah,
no.
Go on. I mean, it's being bounced around, but I think it might have been on Oregon Live. I saw it on Twitter, and I clicked on it. And, yeah, there was a guy out in the, by Detroit Lake area, and he literally was about to be engulfed by flames, and so he went out in the river and just sat on a rock. And he had, like, a plastic chair that he used to shield himself, and that's how he rode out the fire. And it was all around him.
Wow.
Like, I read that and was like, oh, my God. You want to talk about, like, the scariest situation imaginable? You are literally just out on a rock in a river waiting for the fire to come get you. And you got nowhere to go. You just sit there and watch everything around you. Can you imagine the heat and just the fumes and everything?
Yeah, some of the stories are terrifying.
It's an amazing story. And then there's the horrific, sad story about the dad who lost his little boy and
the mom. Boy and the dog.
Yeah, the boy and the dog.
That
and the
story is heartbreaking.
It is. It just rips your guts out.
I don't know if you've just the detail of it.
Yeah.
And that's the one where the guy came back up towards his house and he saw a woman burnt.
Yeah.
Walking down towards him and he didn't recognize that it was his wife. And then they eventually got to a car up near their house and they found the boy. And
the dog,
and then the grandma, because the boy went back to save the grandma.
Yeah, who,
and the grandma was outside the car, dead.
It's just,
God.
It's awful.
And then you have the cooks. Did you see the story of the cooks, the woman and the son in Lions?
No.
Well, I think the boy and the dog were in Lions, too.
Yeah, I think it was, but I didn't see it. The cooks, no, I didn't see this.
So there are two cook brothers, and then the mom's name is Kathy. And they were under level 2 evacuation order in Lyons.
Which is the get ready to go, right?
Yep. And she was packed. She just needed to hear, hey, it's time to go. She was one of those that was like, okay, I'm ready, but yeah. I'm not leaving until it's level 3. Well, an hour passed. So this guy, Travis, calls her and says, you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm packed and everything. He's like, okay. He calls an hour later. Nothing. The phone lines were down. So they don't really know the timeline, but at some point after that, that night, she tried to get out of there. And the younger brother was there. His name was Justin. And he had moved in with her. So they were both there. They got into their car. They had three dogs with them. And they made it about a half mile down a gravel driveway toward the main road in Lyons. They got about 50 feet from the house and their bodies were found outside the car.
Ugh.
And the car, so trees were all over the road. So apparently they couldn't get down through the via the car. So that's maybe why they got out. They don't really know. But they finally reached the property 4 days after they tried to escape, and they found their bodies outside the car, and they found a puddle of aluminum where the car's tires should have been.
Wow. That's some of those are just...
The older brother thinks they were running toward the creek. There was so they couldn't get down in the car. They got stuck.
Trying to go to the water.
And they were trying to go to the water. They both died. And of course, the dogs died.
Well, and that's like what that guy did, right? And then I heard there people down at the coast were doing that. They were just going out on the beach. And we're like, well, if we have to, we'll go into the ocean.
Crazy.
No, I can't imagine the... I can't imagine that level of fear with not just yourself, but with kids and your family and animals. And that just... Absolutely horrific.
All right. Well, that was uplifting.
Yeah.
Reflection of our week.
Yeah. By the way, this just came out 5 minutes ago. The Pac-12 CEO group did make a statement. They will hold a vote on Thursday.
Thursday.
Yes. Pac-12 CEO group had an informative, productive meeting earlier in the day. Blah, blah, blah.
We plan
to
reconvene
on Thursday to make a decision regarding possible return to play prior to January 1. Health and safety of our students, those connected to the Pac-12, continue to be the priority, blah, blah, blah. So Thursday. The vote comes on Thursday, which means, obviously, you can't get back at it on Monday, I'm assuming?
Well, can a school just, like...
Start practicing?
Yeah. Could Arizona just get their kids on a practice field and throw a football around?
I don't know. I mean, technically, they've been lifting in Oregon and in California, right? So maybe? I don't have the answer to that.
I don't know why they're waiting until Thursday, but
the vote coming Thursday.
All right. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
Bad John.
Doo-doo. Big John.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanik on 1080 The Fan.
What up?
I like the Big John song. Even if it wasn't my little intro, I like it anyway. I just find it to be a good little ditty.
It is a good ditty, and it fits you perfectly.
And I think it's by some dude named, like, Jim Dean or something.
Jimmy Dean, the breakfast sausage guy?
I'm going to look that up, but yeah, I think it's, like, the guy that sang it and wrote it, it's, he's got one of those names that looks exactly like someone that would, Jimmy Dean.
Boy, if you can manage affordable, delicious breakfast sausage and write a little catchy little ditty like Big John, that's a pretty good life. I'm looking around, what have I ever done?
Yeah.
Nothing to compare to that.
Yeah, Jimmy Dean wrote Big Bad John. I don't know if he wrote anything else, but he wrote Big Bad John.
I like talking songs.
Yeah, Johnny Cash is a big believer in those. Chris Ledoux, the country format.
Yep. Talking songs or songs that tell a story. I'm all in. All in on that.
You know, that's the whole Bob Dylan thing. You know, some of them don't make any sense, but Dylan, like, that was like... 90% of Bob Dylan songs.
You know that it was today. I think it was today. It might have been yesterday. I saw there's a bunch of stuff going around online. You guys probably saw it today or yesterday. Was the 50th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix's death?
I didn't see that.
Didn't.
Yeah. Does that ever, like, when I see something like that, like it make, like Jimi Hendrix? I mean, everybody. I mean, Jimi Hendrix, one of the greats, right? He's just been dead for 50 years. Like, had that not happened, like, we could go to, like, the Showbox in Seattle and now, and we'd see, like, a 70-year-old Jimi Hendrix perform. Like, we that was taken away for us. We could have seen, like, he'd still be out performing, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways, he'd probably be out there doing the Rolling Stones thing. I think about that a lot because the one guy that I want to see live that I never got to was Freddie Mercury. And
sure.
You know, his birthday was not too long ago, and I think about that because that dude was super creative and was getting into opera and all kinds of different stuff, and I wonder what he would have made over the last 20 years, you know, what sort of music he would have thrown out there, or, you know, Nirvana, you know, does Nirvana, you know, what do they put out, what does Cobain do, and Joplin, a bunch of that.
Yeah, that always throws me for a loop because you just assume... Like, Jimi Hendrix is just gone, right? You don't ever consider that he'd still be around and, like, performing. Like, chances are, had he not died 50 years ago, I would have seen, like, we'd be talking, oh, I saw Jimi Hendrix 3 or 4 times. He's awesome. And we just, you never got that chance because he was taken away.
Unfortunately, I have seen Bob Dylan 3 or 4 times, and it's not good. So not everyone sticking around forever is necessarily a good thing. If you get a chance, don't go see Bob Dylan, I can assure you.
Well, I think the three of us were all at the same Van Halen concert when we saw David Lee Roth and Skiddly Bop all around the stage. Mm. We can all agree that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it's not good.
This is true.
Yeah, that was bad.
I want to see the launch of Panama, Dave. Don't skiddly bop. you're throwing the whole crowd off.
All right, have a good weekend.
All right, see you guys. Go Jimi Hendrix.
Love everybody. All right, that's it. Another week down. We are back Monday, 3 to 7. Have a great weekend. I'm the Fan. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.